Dearly beloved in the hearts of Jesus and Mary. After Jesus and Mary, the most exalted person in God's creation is Saint Joseph, and that for the simple reason that he is the foster father of Jesus, who is true God and true man, and he is the spouse of Mary, the Virgin Mother of God. Saint Joseph is to be so highly venerated precisely because of Jesus and Mary. A theologian interested in the study of Saint Joseph and of his great dignity and sanctity and glory once asked a devout elderly lady why she had such an exceptional devotion to Saint Joseph. "Can't you see," she answered, "that he holds the infant Jesus in his arms?" No theologian could ever have given a better answer. During the great miracle of the sun at Fatima on October 13, 1917, Saint Joseph appeared in the heavens at the base of the sun, together with the child Jesus and his mother, just as Our Lady had promised at the apparitions of the previous August 19th and again September 13th. The child Jesus was standing at the right side of Saint Joseph, and both of them were on the sun's left, while Our Lady was at the sun's right. Both the child Jesus and Saint Joseph were dressed in red, and both blessed the world. Thus, the exalted dignity of Saint Joseph was confirmed in a Fatima message indicating that he is to be honored together with Jesus and Mary. Jesus is first and above all the reason why Saint Joseph is to be so highly venerated, just as Jesus is also the whole reason for Mary's dignity and glory. And Mary is the second reason why Saint Joseph deserves a special devotion from us all. Mary is what she is because of Jesus. Saint Joseph is what he is because of Jesus and Mary. When God chooses a person for some special mission, he prepares that person in such a way that he will be able to fulfill his divinely given mission. And the closer one is allowed to come to God while fulfilling his mission, the more does he need to be endowed with special graces and gifts by the Most High God, and the greater is his dignity and excellence as a result. The reasons why Saint Joseph is so exalted in excellence and dignity and so highly favored with special graces by Almighty God are all centered around Jesus and Mary. He is the spouse of the Mother of God. This in turn placed him in the position of being the foster father of the Word made flesh. The eternal and almighty Son of God, Lord of the universe, was subject to Saint Joseph, whom he obeyed and served and helped. And Saint Joseph played a leading role in the mystery of the incarnation of the Word of God. This was Saint Joseph's mission in life, a mission that excels that of any other man that ever lived, and even that of the angels. As the spouse of the Mother of God, Saint Joseph was united in a true bond of matrimony with one who is, after the created humanity of Christ, the greatest of all creatures, the Virgin Mary. The dignity of Mary, Saint Joseph's spouse, is as close to the infinite as is possible for a mere creature. To say that Saint Joseph is the spouse of Mary is the second of the great things that can be said of him. The first being his dignity as the foster father of the God-man. By his marriage to the Mother of God, St. Joseph undoubtedly arrived closer to Mary's dignity than any other creature. In his encyclical on devotion to St. Joseph in 1889, Pope Leo XIII writes that the dignity of the Mother of God is certainly so sublime that nothing of the created order can surpass it. Nevertheless, since the bond of marriage existed between Joseph and the Blessed Virgin, there can be no doubt that he, more than any other person, approached the supereminent dignity by which the Mother of God is raised far above all created natures. Queen Joseph's position is, in fact, so high with God that only Mary stands between him and God. As Pope Pius XI stated in a sermon in 1926, between God and St. Joseph, there is no higher creature than Mary because of her divine motherhood. Marriage is a union that by its very nature raises either one of the spouses to the dignity and condition of the other spouse, if they are not equal to begin with. Furthermore, marriage makes the goods of one spouse available to the other spouse, while constituting the husband the head of the wife in God's wise designs. If St. Joseph would not have shared the dignity of Mary, he would not have enjoyed all the rights and privileges of a true spouse. Equality of matrimonial rank is one of the primary conditions of every marriage. St. Joseph was equal in matrimonial rank to Mary, and he was in the position to help rear the divine child born of Mary. Joseph and Mary, whom God called to a unique and most holy matrimony, were of equal station in life because of their marriage, despite their inequalities in other respects. Saint Joseph is inferior to Mary in supernatural merits, in special privileges and graces and dignity, yet he nevertheless shares in the dignity of his spouse, who is the Mother of God and the Immaculate Queen of the Universe. St. Joseph shares in the dignity of Mary by a special grace, although the dignity as such is not his, but only Mary's. What also contributed to St. Joseph's dignity in his relationship with Mary was the fact that Mary, his wife, was duly obedient and submissive to him as to the lawful head of the Holy Family. Joseph was Mary's divinely appointed superior and guardian. The natural law of God, as well as his positive law, demands that the wife be honorably subject to her husband. This honorable subjection was not lacking in the case of Mary and Joseph. Despite her unique dignity as the Mother of God, Mary did not claim an exception as regards obedience. The Virgin Mary was undoubtedly familiar with the praise given to Sarah, the wife of Abraham, because she was obedient to Abraham, calling him her Lord. And even though she was superior to Joseph because of her closer participation in the mysteries of God and because of her special privileges of graces, the Holy Virgin was still humbly subject to him in domestic and other external matters. Just as Sarah accompanied Abraham in his labors and on his journeys, so did Mary accompany St. Joseph. Mary came to dwell with Joseph in Nazareth. Together with him, she set out for Bethlehem to be registered with him for the census and to pay tribute to Caesar Augustus. Later, when Joseph was warned to flee with the child and mother to Egypt, Mary was prepared to leave with him that very night, despite the prospect of a long and dangerous journey. The humble handmaid of the Lord was always respectful towards Joseph as her husband and superior. Thus, when the 12-year-old boy Jesus was found in the temple after an anxious 3-day search, Mary's first words to her divine son indicated her respect for Joseph. "Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." We cannot fail to notice how she gives Saint Joseph the title of Father of the Savior, not Foster Father, even though he was not the natural father of Jesus. She even put Joseph before herself in saying, "Thy father and I." She did not say, "I and thy father." The more we study St. Joseph's relationship to Mary, the more do we realize how exalted is his dignity and honor. But the root cause of that dignity is, in any analysis, Mary's divine motherhood, just as that same divine motherhood is the root and the basis for all of Mary's own special privileges and of her sublime dignity. As the foster father of the Son of God, St. Joseph possessed all the qualities and privileges of a true father, except, of course, for natural physical generation. Even though the title of father is not due to St. Joseph in the strict natural sense, his dignity is still most sublime because of his intimate relationship with the divine child. Saint Joseph fulfilled all the services of a true father toward the incarnate Word. He was a witness to the divine mystery of the incarnation, although not from the very first moment. He not only saw the newborn Christ the Lord with his bodily eyes, but he even took him into his arms and kissed him and embraced him and pressed him to his breast while sharing all the joy of a true natural father in these actions. Saint Joseph had the great honor of naming the Holy Child. And in this he took the place of the Heavenly Father who commissioned him to name the child. It was the great privilege of St. Joseph to care for the bodily needs of the divine person of Christ, to feed him and support him with the sweat of his brow and by the labor of his hands. In his faithful diligence in caring for the infant Jesus, St. Joseph shared this honor with the child's mother, and he thus shared also in her merits in this regard. The humble subjection of the divine Savior to St. Joseph was entirely voluntary, but that does not in any way lessen Joseph's dignity. As the evangelist St. Luke observes, the boy Jesus went to Nazareth with Joseph and Mary and was subject to them. It is the dignity of the one subject to Joseph and Mary, who in this case is the eternal Word of God, that ineffably enhances the dignity of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph's role as the spouse of the Immaculate Mother of God and as the foster father of the Son of God required great personal sanctity in him. There can be no doubt that under the special guidance of God, Joseph grew and advanced in sanctity from his earliest years, just as the Blessed Virgin Mary was carefully prepared by God for her role as the mother of the Messiah. So was Saint Joseph favored with special graces and outstanding virtues. His was a completely divine mission, so Almighty God undoubtedly granted him every grace needed for this from infancy. Thus, Joseph possessed a deep, genuine piety toward God. He possessed perfect fidelity to God, prudence, patience, virginity, as well as all the special virtues required by his special mission. Sacred Scripture expresses this truth with the usual conciseness and brevity, as it ordinarily does when speaking of Mary and Joseph, by calling Joseph a just man. There was nothing more than this to indicate his high sanctity, simply that he was a just man. But considering the language of Scripture, this was enough to tell us the facts. Holy Scripture calls Mary full of grace, and Joseph a just man, which is enough to tell us of the holiness of each one. In the eyes of God, Joseph was perfect, adorned with every virtue. Joseph, her husband, the inspired writings say, being a just man, did not wish to denounce her. The virtue of justice spoken of here is not merely that specific virtue that prompts us to be fair to our fellow man, to give him what is his due, to pay our bills and so forth, but rather it is the scriptural term referring to all the virtues in general, so that one who possessed justice in this special scriptural sense is truly a saintly person, pleasing to God in every way. Of course, it is obvious that Mary was just in this sense also, and she could easily have been addressed by Saint Gabriel as full of justice, as well as, or even instead of, full of grace, because the two expressions are practically the same in meaning. So in telling us that St. Joseph was a just man, St. Matthew, who is the human author of the statement about Joseph being a just man, meant that he was a perfect man in the eyes of God, that he was outstanding in every virtue, and that God's grace was in him. This is the meaning of the word justice in both the Old and New Testaments. In fact, Christ the Lord himself is called the Just One in the Scriptures. Thus, for example, Isaiah the prophet, in speaking of the coming Messiah, states, "My Just One is near at hand. My Savior is gone forth." And also, Isaiah wrote, "Drop down, ye dew, ye heavens from above, and let the clouds rain the Just One. Let the earth be opened and bud forth a Savior." In the Acts of the Apostles, we read the discourse of Saint Stephen, the first martyr, as he was about to be stoned to death, calling out fearlessly to his enemies, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers." And in his Catholic epistle addressed to all Christians in general, St. James the Less addresses the rich and the mighty Jewish leaders with a grave charge, "You have condemned and put to death the Just One, and he did not resist you." Jesus, the Just One, is the very same one who is often called the Holy One, or the Holy One of God, or the Holy One of Israel in the Divine Scriptures. In fact, the expressions the Just One and the Holy One are synonymous. To the Virgin Mary, the Archangel Gabriel said, "The Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God." In the light of this understanding, we can realize what a tremendous compliment is given to Saint Joseph by the Holy Spirit of God, who inspired the evangelist Saint Matthew to say that he was a just man. The early church fathers and later scripture scholars had ample reason for seeing in the expression "a just man" the perfect sanctity of Saint Joseph, who was most worthy to be the guardian of him who is before all others the Just One, Christ the Lord. Saint Joseph fully merited to be the Lord of his house and the ruler of his substance, as we recite near the end of the Litany of Saint Joseph. Or we could also say the prince of his possession, which is a more literal translation of the Latin. Anyone then who understands the mission and the position of Saint Joseph in the designs of God will honor him in every way possible. In fostering a fervent devotion towards this great saint, we can easily see that the supreme purpose of such a devotion is to lead us to Jesus and Mary. It is rightly said, "To Jesus through Mary." It can also be rightly said, "To Jesus and Mary through Saint Joseph," in the sense that a true devotion to Joseph can only lead us to Jesus and Mary. The reverse is also true, that is, a true devotion to Jesus and Mary will always include Joseph. In directing any appropriate petitions to Saint Joseph, we should always bear in mind his great love for Jesus and Mary. We give him great pleasure if we ask him to grant us our favors for love of the hearts of Jesus and Mary. And we can also pray, "Saint Joseph, so powerful with the hearts of Jesus and Mary, provide for all our needs of soul and body, and also keep us ever close to the hearts of Jesus and Mary." May the Lord bless you and give you peace.